Glow Kids. Got it. I recommend this for every parent. Okay, so if they're in this room, please get one. Basically, he says no screens before 10. And chapter one,
10 at night.
Yeah,
exactly. Before 10. Before,
but well, after 10, you're on. You're good to go.
Everything bad happens after 10.
Hello, Beatitudes International. That's right. Welcome back to the Beatitudes, a podcast for Christian men seeking to grow in holiness, walking together in fraternity to the Trinity. My name is Paul Kolker, and I'm joined, as always, by my co-hosts with the mo-hosts. I haven't used that one in a while, so
it's been a minute.
Back. Yeah, Jeff Scheffelbein.
I'm Jeff.
Stop that song. No. Okay.
And Nicholas, that's my buddy Nick.
Two thumbs up.
Nicholas Besner. Nick is on the mic.
That's me.
All he right. can speak it.
I've got two thumbs.
He can speak it.
Wow. Well, if you're still with us, we're excited to have back our guest from Monday. And you need to seriously go back and listen to that episode if you haven't already. Share it with a friend, although don't do it in like a passive aggressive way because it's a really, really touchy topic. But
you need this.
Yeah. Hey, I thought of you when we. That would be weird. But yes, we have Steve Pachemin.
Yes, that's right on. No, really, really close.
Pacorny.
Pacorny.
There we go. Okay. See, I knew it. I just wanted to do one of the fake ones because he said it last time. So. Yes, welcome back, Steve.
It's great to be here. Right, and we were talking right before this, right? So I became aware of my wife.
My wife.
Right, I'm not Italian, but we'll go there. Right.
Okay.
We're all attached to Rome here, yeah. So we're all Italian somehow. That's right. So she was the editor of the newspaper, the Troubadour, in at Franciscan University, and I was very well involved on campus, grad on trad. I was a graduate; she's undergrad, and my name. And I also started giving talks on theology of the body on campus. And so my name was spelled four different ways. She's the editor of the newspaper, okay? So two or three weeks later, a mutual friend of ours put out the title of the article was an editorial, Let's Give Up Misspelling Pecorny's Name for Lent, and proceeded to butcher my name 90 ways to Wednesday.
That's
okay,
awesome.
So that's where so many of those pronunciations have come from. They've stuck with us forever. And so it was from that article that my wife became aware of me, because clearly, well, I know, maybe she should have been a little sharper on the editing part there, but hey, it all worked out. It all worked out.
That's awesome.
It all worked out.
And it also tells you that there's not much of a news beat going on in Franciscan University. What do y'all get them for Lent? Everybody's giving this up.
Slow news
no
day.
No more petugas.
No more petunias.
Well, speaking of, like, tell us a little bit. No, his wife. I was going back to what he said.
Speaking of the wife.
Yeah, speaking of the wife. No, yeah. So tell us a little bit more about your family, your wife, all of that. Let's get to know who you are.
You got kids, goats, billies.
I don't have billies yet.
Billies could be either goats or kids.
Correct.
They could. Yes. If you're Billie Eilish, you know that's a girl, right? But no, yep. I don't have one of those. So married 15 years this year. Which is crazy talk.
Congrats.
Nobody says 15 years 3 years ago.
You're right.
It'll be 15 years this year.
Yeah, you're right.
And in 10 years, it'll be 25 years.
We'll be married 25 years. 20 years from now.
Yeah, 20 years from now. That's hope, man. That's vision. I like
this. We will be.
We've been married for 50 years. It's coming. We'll be there in 37 years, ladies and gentlemen.
50 years. It's coming. And 35 more. Actually, it would be true, though. But, so 15 years this year, this June.
Thank you.
She found me on mailordergroom.com. Mm-hmm. I think she got a blessing.
You started that website, didn't you?
Can't talk about it.
Yeah.
Okay. Too close to home.
Every profile was his name spelled differently.
500 different options.
I'm so lucky. Fast forward, married in 2009, and we've got Isabella was number one. She's still number one. Then Francesca would come about 2 years later, and then we had Joy was 7-month miscarriage. And so I always am very, and her, she's a part of our life, yeah. Right, in many ways. And
7 months?
7 months. Sorry, I misspoke. Okay. 7 weeks. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you on that. But she's become a part of our family. And in fact, the crazy story of our somehow her name was given to us. Her name is Joy. Okay. Mm-hmm. So I have friend, you have Francesca, Isabella, Francesca, and Italian right there, right? And then Joy. And was given to both my wife and I individually. And my wife had gone out in, speaking of Cincinnati, right outside of Cincinnati, there was a coffee house, and she was meeting with a friend there. And on the wall, there's all this art that was for purchase. And one of them was a sunflower. And sunflowers had been kind of the image that kind of was coming to my wife in for my daughter. And so through a series of events, and my wife was flying in, couldn't carry it on the plane, didn't want to get it broken. So I had family, she bought it, had family members bring it down to us. So it was a way of kind of our extended family kind of share in the grieving process through that.
Yeah,
beautiful. Thankful for that.
And what's the world like for your daughters? And you, if you listen to the previous episode, you run Freedom Coaching. You help men and women to be released from the compulsions of ongoing pornography. Mm. How does that play into being a father of young girls?
It is a challenge, and if I'm a hypocrite, then I'm a hypocrite, and I'll receive this. And we oftentimes are able to, you know, things we're involved with, good wholesome things, we can often talk to people about them, but how often do we talk to our family about it when you're talking about the issue of pornography, right? This is a very sensitive subject, age appropriate. And my daughter, both my daughters now are getting of age where these are kind of conversations. And I was sharing with you just yesterday, a beautiful moment of, there's a series of magazines on theology of the body. And we had started it because they're for middle school. And we had begun talking about these 4 or 5 months later, earlier. And my daughter just asked me right before my second child had softball practice, "Daddy, tonight I want to come to practice with you." And I wasn't running practice. And I want to talk through more of these magazines. And so we had some really good, deep conversation on this. But I had always been like, what do they think if I bring up the issue of pornography? Like, what, like, is that going to inspire them to get curious and go searching online, even though we're very protective about devices? But again, kids have friends, and friends have devices, and we are not there all the time, right? Yeah. So it's protecting that part. But she was so open and honest with me, and I think part of that is we have a pretty good prayer life at home. We pray the rosary almost every night at home. I before meals, but especially as we get in the car, we're praying together, and really try to make that part of life. And so, because I know at the end of the day, my job is not to raise a good kid. It's not to raise a good adult. It's to raise saints, right? And I know how far I have to go. And also, where my father wasn't in the picture, I want to be different, right? I want to be present there, but also knowing very much this has been my background, right? So struggling with, how do I integrate that? How do I bring this in here, right? And if I let them know what this is, A, is it going to inspire curiosity? B, what is she going to think of me, right? So those are kind of questions I've wrestled with. But then in our conversation yesterday, she, and again, this is an appropriate time to do this, she herself brought out the term pornography. Obviously has seen a little bit of what we do. She's never heard my story yet, but it wasn't awkward. It was something that was just kind of normal. So now we have this kind of, we've created this, obviously years of building intimacy together. Now as these emotions are now, moving into Eros, right? The appropriate understanding of what Eros is, the desire to the true, the good, the beautiful. And she's got a desire for learning, to want to learn. Mm. She's not going to her friends to learn this. She's not going on, let me try to sneak around this website or whatever. I'm going to go talk to my dad. And, you know, my dad might actually have something to say on this. And so it's been a beautiful touch point here. But the good news is this is not going to be a one-and-done conversation. Whereas, you know, when I was growing up, I was doing Mad Libs, dirty Mad Libs, with a friend in our clubhouse, right? And a whole lot of trouble there. And my mom finds out about this and asks me a question. So what do you know about sex? A lot. And that was the extent of our conversations.
Yeah.
Right? Trouble.
Also turns out you can't hide anything from your mom, so don't try it.
Amen.
The real takeaway.
Amen.
Correct.
You know, just think about raising kids for a second here. We talked in the last episode about the theology of the body and the breadth and depth of that resource and that truth for just raising kids and raising adults, right? Anybody should be learning this stuff. What I don't think people realize, or maybe I didn't when I first was learning about what theology of the body even was, is that it's actually appropriate at all levels, depending on how it's delivered. So in the kids' school across the street here, there's a theology of the body component for first grade, second grade, third grade, and it goes into personhood. It goes into dignity. It goes into, like, who you are as son or daughter of Christ, who you are as human male in your family, as sibling. Like, you're this human, and you're building up that so that you can get to these parts of, like, you're going to be faced with decisions that will be the, I think you used great terminology in the last one, like the ill-formed version of something beautiful or whatever, you know, the tainting of something that is actually designed for beauty and grace. And anyways, I just hope that people will go and look these resources.
Well, and that's a good point because, like, right, you start having a conversation in first grade that's so far away from, you know, the hard, scary thing that you don't want to talk about because it's uncomfortable. But if you're starting that conversation there, then it evolves and it goes deeper. And then it's not, to your point, not awkward or uncomfortable by the time you get there.
On both this, Nick and Jeff, I mean, great points, right? What is theology of the body about? As we said last time, it's about an adequate anthropology. What does it mean to be human, right? And in a world right now where technology is dominating, right? And can we use technology for good? We are right now, right?
Yeah.
Here, I think we are, right? I'll let you guys determine
We'll leave that up to the audience.
Exactly. Yeah, so, but no, we're doing this for good, right? And so it can be used for good. But with technology, there's a creep in here. And then, you know, we can go into the whole conversation on AI. And
hey, I always tell my daughters, with technology, there's a lot of creeps in there.
Yeah. Dad's here. Way to go. Well done. I like that.
Human harmonica.
I like it. Harmonica. That was more a bugle, wasn't it?
Yeah,
wasn't
like a trumpet or something. Yeah.
Oh, I'm not in the band. I'm sorry, everybody.
I'm getting the band back together.
A muted trumpet specifically.
Can you tell Charlie Brown we'd like to come out and play? Excellent.
Yeah.
The teacher, by the way, that wasn't Charlie Brown. He has a real voice.
Oh, that's right. Those are the adults.
Oh, tell Charlie Brown.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, there you go.
I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. It's okay. I'll slow my roll.
3 years ago, I got some good rest. So.
Paul knows everything. Just every reference.
He does.
It's amazing.
I try to know a lot about a little and a little about a lot.
Yep.
That's right.
I do two of those things.
Try.
A little.
Anyway,
so continuing.
Yes.
I love this. This is like normal conversation.
Right.
Normal life. Right? Where were we? So the humanity, right? Knowing who we are, right? Because if we don't know who we are, we're going to fall for counterfeits. And there's a whole lot of them out there. So I think for us as prevention, I think as you talked about, you know, on Monday's show, right? And wanting to talk about, like, what do we do for prevention, right? Do our kids know that they're loved? Do they know that they have value? Do they know that even if they screw up and they just let the dog's tail on fire, right? That, yes, that was wrong. The dog's hair will hopefully grow back. But you, after grounding, you're still going to be brought back to the kitchen table for dinner, right? Mm-hmm. You're still going to be loved. You're still part of the family.
Yeah, we talked about before making sure that you make time for family dinners. What other advice do you have? Not saying that you're perfect, so not to... This goes past that part of, like, shame and I'm not worthy. You already know that part. What parenting advice do you have for people? Like, you get to see a lot of stuff. You get to hear a lot of people struggling through their own sin, their own guilt, their own shame. As a parent, what's the advice or the encouragement you would give?
Sure. I mean, so let's talk specifically about the issue of pornography. If it's in your house, it will come out. Mm-hmm. So you have to deal with this. You've got to get help for this, right? Whether it's from Freedom Coaching or somewhere else, get help for this, right? Second is the best defense is a good offense on this whole thing, right? So again, if we're talking about the fact that the body is good, that we are made in the image of God, right? How do you talk about your own body, parents, especially mothers, right? I'm not a woman. I don't pretend to be, right? But my wife, chapter 9 of my book, especially, my wife ghost wrote a lot of that and talks a lot about modesty. And modesty, as the catechism makes it clear, is not clothing cannot be modest. Modesty is a virtue. Mm. Okay? So we are modest. Now, can clothing inspire the way in which we live out modesty or immodesty? Of course it can, right? But we have some some women, right? Again, maybe it's coming from culture, maybe it's coming from their own upbringing, whatever it is, may say something like in front of it. And again, this is very personal to me because we have daughters in the house. I have never been blessed with sons. But, and my wife doesn't do this, thank God, because she gets this mentality. But some moms are like, oh, I don't like that part of my body. I don't like the way that looks in this. Well, it begins to send a message that it's not simply what it looks like, but that part is bad.
Yeah.
So I should cover it up. Or the flip side, if I'm not getting the intimacy that I'm getting from dad and mom, and I'm speaking especially about young ladies, right, I'm going to go and try to find out from other boys in the neighborhood or again, think of 2020, everything's shut down, right? I am looking for intimacy. I'm not finding it. I'm going to go on online or the social site, right? And there's issues with that. We got to look at that.
It takes me back to, like, I just remember growing up with the, like, early stages of the internet. It's like, don't go on a chat room. But it's like, oh, yeah, go on social media, fine. You know? Like, every teenager has social media. But, like, when chat we were rooms, teenagers, yeah. It was like, don't go into a chat room. Somebody might say something to you.
Yeah.
Right? There weren't even images or videos or anything.
Isn't
like
that funny? It's almost like, look, I just how never much thought like, about the foundation like, oh, yeah. got chipped away at right. to where we're like, just try not to be on TikTok for more than an hour.
Well, and there's that the whole bit. I've seen this online somewhere, but it's like we used to say, you know, watch out for strangers and
stranger danger.
Yeah, and don't get into cars with strangers and don't talk to strangers on the internet. Now we literally summon them with Uber, right? Like, and go get in a car with a stranger. I mean, it's just wild, like, how much that's pivoted. Now, I know that's a different thing. I mean,
sure.
Vetted
sure.
or whatever, all that kind
hopefully,
of stuff.
Hopefully, yes.
Yeah, in theory, sure. in yes. theory, but yeah.
Background checks and things
yeah,
like that.
Stuff yeah, like that.
No, it's a good point.
Yeah. I mean, the other practical tip that I would add to this, a book called Glow Kids, and I can't pronounce his last name, so I'm not going to try. It's a doctor.
Perconi?
Yes, just like that. Yeah. Exactly.
Sorry, you said Glow Kids.
Glow Kids. Got it. I recommend this for every parent. Okay, so if they're in this room, please get one. Basically, he says no screens before 10. And like chapter
before
one.
Before 10 at night?
Yeah. Exactly. Before 10. Before, well, after 10, 10, you're on. You're good to go.
Everything bad happens after 10.
and he makes the argument. He makes the argument, and the book is not so much about pornography, but about video games, okay? Mm. And saying it's not, like, because the argument he talks a lot, this is a little dated, it was 2016 the book came out, when especially Grand Theft Auto was very popular, and saying it's not the amount of time necessarily if you are playing for 30 minutes, but you're still getting a rush of dopamine. Mm. So all these screens, and especially this is before TikTok came out, or even Snapchat, right? It's very, very quick, right? It's less than 10 seconds, usually for a lot of those videos, and we can't focus. We're not able to be there. And then we're being taught or being told that having technology in the classroom is supposed to be a good thing. But the studies are coming out and saying the opposite of that. What they want is connection.
Yeah.
Remember, the opposite of compulsion is not sobriety, but connection. It's what we're craving, and kids are aching for this. And again, if we're not getting this in real life, we're going to go to what seems to be a healthy substitute. But we have to ask some questions.
That's a plug for Humanality, this group that's run out of the same office.
Yeah.
And one of their big things is really college kids making pledges to use dumb phones and not smartphones because they're all kind of sick of, like, the indirect bullying, the sexualization, the feelings of inadequacy. They just want to be kids, go to college, be in high school. I mean, wouldn't that be nice if we could just let kids grow up? But I
want the free tuition. That's really what I'm looking for. <That's> Missed awesome. That one.
That's awesome. Well, cool. We'll go back and get your doctorate, and we'll sponsor you.
Sweet.
Yeah, we'll sponsor you with stickers. Here's your first down payment.
Value is 0.00001.
Don't spend it all in Drop one off. Place.
If you told people you were on the Beatitudes in season 3, that's a big deal.
That's a big deal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is.
Okay. Listen, I want to remind people how they can find you and find Freedom Coaching, and also just to keep educating themselves, even if they don't know that they're in a place of need right now. We can't ever be lax in this area. This is a place of human development and a chance to also love and serve others. So dive in and learn about it. I was reading your book, A Redeemed Vision, Out in Public, and I appreciate that the cover doesn't look like it's about addiction to pornography. and somebody sat down, I went and got restroom break and came back and I said, just so you know, the book I'm reading it. And I started explaining what I was doing there.
Would you say you compulsively explained it?
I was addicted to explaining it. Yes. If you want to go back to the first one. Hey, Steve, how do people find you?
Sure. freedom-coaching.net. Best place to look. Look on our social media handles at Redeemed Vision. And then also, if you're on Formed, Redeeming Our Vision is on there. You can just shoot a note through the website. Again, freedom-coaching.net. And you can find me and any of our other coaches.
Well, I hope you'll take him up on this. This is a really great chance to start a change for the better for everybody and not to live in shame or guilt. And also, great parenting advice. I appreciate it.
Yeah. Absolutely.
I'll do my best to raise these two young men here.
Have you cleaned your room today, boys?
No comment. I'm not going to live in shame, so yes. no, I haven't.
He hasn't, and he's not ashamed about it.
Amen.
Einstein had a dirty desk, so I have a dirty room.
There you go.
Very good logic.
And an Einstein poster. I don't know. All right. Hey, folks, thanks for tuning into the Beatitudes. This has been another great show with Steve Pokorny and Freedom Coaching. And, of course, the three of us are incredible. So we'll see you next week on the Beatitudes. And for the rest of you, we will
see you in the Eucharist, of course.
Arrivederci. God bless you.
Thanks for tuning in. If you'd like to join us at our undersized table, subscribe to the video version of the show on YouTube by typing at... That's the symbol at, so shift and two on your keyboard, @_Beatitudes on YouTube. We'll see you there.